Ihya Ulumuddin by Imam Ghazali. Chapter 1. Acquisition of Knowledge. Section 1. Excellence of Learning. Proof of the Quran. God says, God, angels, and those learned men who stand on justice bear testimony that there is no God but He. 3:18 from the Quran. Now look, O dear readers, how God began attestation first by Himself, then by His angels, and then by the learned men. It is understood from this verse that the rank of the learned and their honor are very high. God says, those who are believers among you and the learned, God will increase their rank. 58:12. Hazrat Ibn Abbas said about them, quote, the rank of the learned is 700 times more than that of the believers, and the difference between two ranks is the difference of 500 years. God says, quote, are those who are learned equal to the illiterate? 39:9. Quote, the learned amongst his servant fear God most. 35:28. God says, say God is sufficient as a witness between me and you and those who have got knowledge of the Quran. 13:43. God says, but those who had been granted knowledge said, alas for you, the reward of God is the best for those who believe and do good. 28:80. God says, these parables we set forth for men, and none understand them except for the learned. 29:42. God says, if they had only referred to the apostle and those charged with authority among them, those of them who would investigate it would know it. 4:93. God thus made knowledge dependent upon their efforts. In the practical religion, God's commands have been placed upon the investigation of the learned and their rank with the prophets for propagation of God's commands. God says, quote, O children of Adam, I have sent down to you garments to cover your shame and adornment to you, but the garment of piety is the best. 7:25. God says, I have sent to them a book, and with knowledge I explained it in detail, a guide and a mercy for all those who believe. 7:52. God says, I shall recount their story with knowledge. 7:6. God says, it is a clear sign in the hearts of those to whom knowledge has reached. 29:48. God says, He created man and taught him to speak. 55:2. The sayings of the Prophet. The Holy Prophet said, God gives knowledge of religion and guidance to truth to whose good He intends. He said, the learned are the heirs of the prophets. For these it is understood that there is no rank above the rank of prophethood, and there is no honor higher than its inheritance. He said, quote, whatever is in the heavens and the earth, seek forgiveness for the learned. So the angels of the heavens and the earth remain busy in seeking forgiveness for the learned, and they remain busy with themselves. What can be a greater rank than this? The Prophet said, quote, wisdom increases the honor of the noble and exalts a servant as high as to raise him to the level of kings. From this tradition, it is understood that even in this world, the fruits of learning can be enjoyed. It is also true that the hereafter is better and more lasting than this world. The Prophet said, two traits of character are not united in a hypocrite: good guidance and knowledge of theology. The meaning of theology or jurisprudence will be discussed soon. The lowest knowledge of jurisprudence is that hereafter is better than the world. When this knowledge will prevail over him, he will be free from hypocrisy and any show. The Prophet said, quote, the best of the people is a believing learned man who does good when sought for, and when the people keep away from him, he also keeps away from them. Quote, he said, belief is without dress, and its dress is God fear, its ornament is shame, and its fruit is knowledge. He said, the learned and the warriors are the nearest to the rank of prophethood. the learned have been sent, for which the prophets were sent. They are the guides to the people, and the warriors wage war in the path of God with their arms like the apostles. The prophet said, quote, "The death of a man is easier than the death of one learned man. Men are like mines of gold and silver. Those who are best in the days of ignorance are the best in Islam, provided they have the knowledge of theology. I shall intercede on the day of judgment and be a witness to anyone who commits to memory 40 traditions out of my followers and transmits these to them." Unquote. The Holy Prophet said, quote, "The ink of the learned will be weighed against the blood of the martyrs on the day of judgment. Whoever of my followers commits to memory 40 traditions will meet God as a learned man. God is sufficient for the worries of one who acquires knowledge of God's religion. He gives him provision from a source which he never conceived." He said, quote, "God revealed to Ibrahim, O Ibrahim, I am all wise and I love every wise man." A learned man is the trust of God on earth. There will be two groups amongst my people. When both groups are good, the people are good, and when they are corrupt, the people are corrupt, that is, the rulers and the scholars. He said, "Should the day come wherein my knowledge of nearing God does not increase, let the sun not rise on that day." The superiority of a learned man over a worshipper is like the superiority over ordinary men. So see how the prophet linked knowledge with prophethood, and how he belittled the rank of the learned men without action, even though a worshipper is worshipping always, and he would not have worshipped had he not possessed knowledge. He said, quote, "The superiority of a learned man over a worshipper is like the superiority of the moon over the stars. There will intercede on the day of judgment the prophets, then the learned, and then the martyrs. So the rank of the learned is next to that of the prophets and higher than that of the shaheed." The Holy Prophet said, quote, "God has not given any man more excellence than knowledge of religion, and one theologian is formidable to the devil than 1,000 worshippers. Everything has its fountain, and the foundation of this religion is the knowledge of theology." The prophet said, quote, "The best part of your religion is its easiest, and the best worship is the acquisition of religious knowledge." He said, quote, "The superiority of a believing learned man over a believing worshipper is that of 70 degrees. The prophet said, "You are living in an age wherein the theologians are many and the Quran readers and preachers are few, the beggars are few and the givers are many, wherein deeds are better than knowledge, but soon there will come over you an age wherein the theologians will be few, the preachers and the Quran readers will be many, the givers will be few and the beggars will be many, wherein knowledge will be better than deeds." He said, "There is a difference of 100 degrees between a worshipper and a learned man. The distance between 2 degrees is the running of a racing horse for 70 years. The prophet was once asked, "O prophet of God, which action is the best?" He said, "Knowledge." He was then questioned, "Which knowledge do you mean?" He said, "Knowledge about God." They asked, "I ask you about action, but you speak about knowledge." The prophet said, "With your knowledge of God, a few actions will be sufficient, and your ignorance about God will not suffice, even though your actions are numerous." He said, "On the day of resurrection, God will raise up the worshippers and the learned men. He will say, 'O congregation of the learned men, I have not imbued you with my knowledge, but for my knowledge about you. I have not placed knowledge in you in order to punish you, so I have forgiven you.'" The sayings of the sages. Hazrat Ali said to Kamil, quote, "O Kamil, knowledge is better than wealth. Knowledge guards you, but you have to guard wealth. Knowledge dispenses justice while wealth seeks justice. Wealth decreases with expense while knowledge increases with expense. A learned man is better than one who prays and fights in the way of God. When a learned man dies, such a calamity befalls on Islam which cannot be removed except by his successor. Hazrat Ali said in poems, quote, "Glory is due to none other than the learned. Guided are they, and the proofs of their proofs to the seekers of guidance. Everybody is honored proportionate to his knowledge, but the illiterate are disgraced as enemies of the learned. Acquire knowledge, you will be immortal. All men are dead, only the learned are alive." Unquote. Sage Ibn Aswad said, quote, "Nothing is more honorable than knowledge. While the kings rule over the people, the learned rule over the kings." Hazrat Ibn Mubarak was asked, "Who are men?" He replied, "The learned." He was again asked, "Who are the kings?" He replied, "The ascetics." He was again asked, "Who are the meanest?" He said, "Those who exchanged religion for this world." He did not consider anybody as a man except for the learned. Knowledge distinguishes men from animals, and it is only for knowledge that men are honored. This honor is not due to man for his physical strength, because a camel is physically stronger than a man. His honor is not due to the large body, because the body of an elephant is bigger than that of a man. His honor is not on account of his bravery, because a ferocious beast is more braver than man. His honor is not because of the strength of too much eating, because the stomach of an ox is bigger than that of a man. This honor is not due to the strength of sexual passion, as a sparrow has got more strength of sexual passion than that of a man. This honor of man is on account of his knowledge and intelligence. The Holy Prophet said, quote, "Whoever has been given the Quran and thinks that anyone has been given something better, he has degraded what God has exalted." Once the saint Fathul Musali was asked, quote, "Does not a sick man die for the want of food, drink, and medicine?" The people said, "Yes." He said, "Such is the condition of the heart. When the heart is not given wisdom and knowledge for 3 consecutive days, it dies. It is a veritable truth that the food of the heart is knowledge and wisdom. As food keeps the body alive, there are 2 things similarly keep the heart alive. He who misses knowledge has got his heart diseased, and its end is in its death, but he does not understand it. When he leaves the world and its works, his power of sense goes away, just as excessive fear keeps one forgetful for a moment of the pangs of wound. But when death takes away the burden of this world away from this man, he repents at the advent of his death, but it comes of no use. His condition is just like the one who does not feel any pain in swoon. But as soon as he recovers from his swoon, he begins to feel the pain. Men are asleep, but they are awake when they die." The sage Hasan al-Basri said, "The ink of the learned will be weighed against the blood of the martyrs, and then they will be found that the ink of the learned is heavier than the blood of the martyrs." Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud said, quote, "You should acquire knowledge before you die. By one in whose hand there is my life, those who are killed in the way of God would wish every time that God should resurrect them as learned men, as they will find the honors meted out to the learned men in paradise. Nobody is born learned. Learning is to be acquired." Hazrat Ibn Abbas said, quote, "To discuss about learning in a portion of the night is dearer to me than to wake up throughout the night in prayer." Hazrat Abu Huraira and Imam Ahmad also held this view. God advised us to pray thus, quote, "O God, give us good in this world and the good in the hereafter." Quran 2:297. In explaining good in this world, Hazrat Hasan al-Basri said it means knowledge so far as this world is concerned, and paradise so far as the hereafter is concerned. A certain wise man was also asked, "Which thing is to be hoarded?" He replied, "That thing which will remain with you even when your boat capsizes, that is knowledge." The excellence of learning. Quran. God says, quote, "If a party from every band of them remained behind, they could devote themselves to the religion." 9:122. God says, "If you know not, then ask those who have got the knowledge of the book." Quran 6, 16:43, Hadith. The Prophet said, quote, "If a man seeks the path of acquiring knowledge, God guides him to a path leading to paradise." He said, "Angels spread their wings out of the cheer for the seeker of knowledge. To rise up at dawn and to learn a section of knowledge is better for you than to pray 1,000 rakat." He said, "If a man learns a chapter of knowledge, it is better than the world and everything in it." Seek knowledge even if it is in China. To seek knowledge is compulsory on every Muslim male and female. Knowledge is a treasure house and its key is inquiry. So inquire, and there are rewards therefore for four people: the person who asks, the learned, the audience, and the lover. He said, "The ignorant should not remain silent over their ignorance, nor the learned over their knowledge." He said, "To be present in an assembly of a learned men is better than praying 1,000 rakat, visiting 1,000 sick people, and attending 1,000 funerals." The Prophet was asked, "O Messenger of God, is it better than reading Quran?" He said, "What benefit can Quran do except through knowledge?" He said, "He who seeks knowledge to revive Islam and dies in that condition, there will be a difference of only one step between him and the prophets."
No.
Sayings of the sages. Hazrat Ibn Abbas said, "When I sought knowledge, I became degraded. But when I was sought for knowledge, I became exalted." Ibn Mubarak said, quote, "I wonder for one who does not seek knowledge, how can he call himself towards honor? A certain wise man said, 'I do not feel sympathy for anybody more than two people. One, anyone who seeks knowledge but does not understand it. And two, one who understands knowledge but does not seek it.'" Hazrat Abu Darda said, quote, "To learn one point is better than to pray the whole night." He said, "Either to be learned man or a student or an auditor, but not anything else." Hazrat Omar said, quote, "The death of 1,000 people who pray all night and fast all day is a lesser calamity than the death of one learned man who is versed in lawful and unlawful things of God." Imam Shafi said, quote, "To seek knowledge is better than optional prayers." Abu Darda, the Prophet's companion, said, quote, "He who thinks that to go at dawn in search of knowledge is not jihad is deficient in his intellect." The excellence of teaching. Quran. God says, "When they return to them, they warn their people so that they may guard themselves." 9:122. It means teaching and guidance. God says, "Remember when God took a covenant from the prophet or from the people of the book, 'You shall surely make it known to mankind and not conceal it.'" 3:187. It shows that teaching was binding on the people of the book. God says, "A party from them concealed the truth although they know it." 2:140. This shows that concealing the truth is unlawful. God says, "Do not conceal evidence, for whoever conceals it is wicked at heart." 2:83. The Prophet said, "God does not give a learned man any knowledge until he takes from him a covenant, as he took covenant from the prophets, namely to make it known to the people and not to conceal it." God says, "Who is better in speech than one who calls towards God and does good?" 41:33. God says, "Call towards the way of your Lord with wisdom and a good sermon." 16:125. God says, "He teaches them the book and wisdom." 2:123. The sayings of the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet said, quote, to Muaz when he was about to start for Yemen, quote, "If God gives guidance to man through you, through your help, it is better than everything in the world and its contents." He said, "If a man learns a section of knowledge to teach it to people, he will be given the rewards of 70 siddiq, that is righteous men." Jesus Christ said, "He who acquires knowledge, acts up to it, and teaches it to people will be called great in the kingdom of heavens." The Prophet said, quote, on the day of resurrection, God will say to the worshippers and the warriors, enter paradise. The learned will then say, by virtue of your learning, you have worshipped and fought. God will then say, quote, you are like some of my angels. Intercede and your intercession will be accepted. So they will intercede and they will enter paradise. This rank they will get for their knowledge which reached others and not for the knowledge which does not reach others but remained with them. The prophet said, quote, God will not take away knowledge from men after he has given it to them. Rather, he will withdraw it by taking the lives of the learned men. Whenever a learned man will pass away, the knowledge with him will also pass away, and at last there will be none except for ignorant leaders. Whenever anything will be asked to them, they will give a decision without knowledge, for which they will be misguided, and they will misguide other people. The prophet said, if a man after acquiring knowledge keeps it concealed, God will drag him into the brittle of fire on the day of judgment. The holy prophet said, how excellent a gift and how excellent a present is a word of wisdom which you hear and remember and then carry it and teach it to your brother Muslim. It is equal to worship for 1 year. He said, accursed is the world and what is therein except one who remembers the glorious God and one who makes friendship with him, one who learns and the one who teaches. God, his angels, and the inmates of the heavens and the earth, even the ant in the hole and the fishes in the sea, like the one who teaches good to the people. He said, a Muslim gives his brother Muslim no greater benefit than a fair tradition which has reached him and which he subsequently transmits to him. He said, quote, if a believer hears a good advice and then translates it into action, it is better than worship for 1 year. The prophet once came out and saw two assemblies. One was calling God and offering supplications, and the other was giving people good instructions. The prophet said, the first group offer supplication to God. If God wishes, he may grant them, and if he wishes, he may reject them. Another group are giving advice and good instruction to the people. I have been sent as a teacher. He then went to them and he took his seat amongst them. The prophet said, the simile of guidance and knowledge with which God sent me is like that of rain falling upon a certain locality. One spot became full of water and subsequently abundant herbs and grass grew therein. The ditches and the canals and other spots reserve water, and the God gives benefits to mankind therewith. They drink water from there and irrigate their lands and grow crops. Then there is a spot wherein neither hoards nor grows any grass or herbs. The first simile is that of a man who benefits from knowledge. The second simile is that of a man who does not benefit to others. The third simile is that of a man who is deprived of both the benefits. The prophet said, one who guides towards something good is like one who does it. The holy prophet said, when a man dies, all of his actions stop except three things: a permanent endowment for charity, useful knowledge, and the righteous successors. He said, there is no envy except for two people, quote, one, whom God has given knowledge according to which he conducts himself and teaches it to the people, and two, one whom God has given wealth and power and to spend it, and he spends it in good deeds. He said, may God have mercy on all my successors. He was asked, who are your successors? He said, those who love my ways and teach them to the people. The sayings of sages. Hazrat Umar said, he who learns one hadith and induces one to act upon it will get the reward of one who translates it to action. Hazrat Ibn Abbas said, quote, if a man teaches good to the people, everything seeks forgiveness for him, even the fishes of the sea. A certain wise man said, quote, a learned man is an intermediary between God and men, so see how he acts as an intermediary. A learned man said, learned men are the lights of the ages. Each is a light in his own time. giving light to the people of his time. Hazrat Hassan al-Basri. Hazrat Hassan al-Basri says, but for the learned, people would have been animals. In other words, learning takes a man to the limit of humanity from the limit of being an animal. The Prophet said, as reported by Muaz bin Jabal, quote, acquire knowledge because its acquisition is fear of God, searching for it is worship, its study is praise, search for it is jihad, teaching it to them, to him who does not know is charity, and imparting it to those who are worthy is meritorious. It is the friend in journey, companion in solitude, guide to religion, and light to them in happiness and misfortune, a heart friend to a stranger, and becomes the path to paradise. Through it, God exalts a nation, makes them leaders and guides of good. Seeing them, others might also become guides to good, and people follow them. The angels urge them to work. Everything dry and fresh seeks forgiveness for them, even the fishes in the sea, the insects and the worms, the beasts in the forest, cattle and sheep, and even the stars in the sky seek forgiveness for them. Knowledge gives life to the dead heart. It is the light of eyes in darkness and gives strength to the body after removing weakness. By its help, a man reaches the rank of the pious. To think of it like fasting, and its study is prayer. By its help, God is obeyed and worshipped. By it, its help, warning is given. By its help, unity of God is understood. The tie of blood is maintained, and lawful and unlawful things are known. The proof of reason. The proof of reason for the excellence of knowledge is this. If the word excellence is not understood, it is not possible to know the excellence of other things. For instance, if one desires to know whether Zayd is a wise man, he should first know the meaning of the word wise, and then Zayd, and then, or else he will go astray. Excellence is the additional quality of a thing which has got no defect. It is said that a horse is better than a donkey. If the quality of carrying loads is taken, both of them are same, but a horse has got some additional qualities which is not found in a donkey. The quality of running fast and physical beauty. An animal is sought for its quality and not for its body. Now understand why knowledge is better. As a horse is called better than a donkey for its quality of running fast, you will call knowledge better if it is compared with other qualities. Knowledge is good for its own sake and not for its connection to other qualities. All precious things in the world fall into three groups. 1. What is sought for its own intrinsic value. 2. What is sought as a means to an end. And 3. What is sought for both. What is sought for its own intrinsic value, for instance, knowledge, is noble. What is sought as means to an end is gold and silver, which are mere pieces of stone having no value of its own. If God had not made them instruments of purchasing things, their value would have been equal to other stones. Knowledge is precious for its own sake, because with its help, the happiness of the next world and divine vision can be gained. It is not the case with gold and silver. What is sought for both, for its own sake and a means to an end, is physical health. If a body is healthy, all things can be easily done, such as eating, drinking, and other works. But the object of these things is to gain happiness in the hereafter and nearness to God. If this object is kept in view, you will get pleasure in the acquisition of knowledge. The highest rank of men is the attainment of happiness in the next world, and the most excellent thing are the ways that lead him to it. So knowledge is the root of good fortune in this world and in the next. The result of knowledge is to enjoy nearness to God, to keep company with the angels and the pious divines, which are objects of the next world, and it is the result of this world is honor, influence over the rulers and the people. So acquisition of knowledge and its teachings are excellent actions in order to keep and seek good in this world and good in the next, and is the most laudable with the above objectives. The affairs of this world do not become orderly except through activities, but the human activities are divided into three categories. 1. The first category includes four fundamental activities without which the world cannot go into order, that is, agriculture for raising food to maintain lives, weaving for the manufacturing of clothes, architecture for the building of houses, and government for regulating human relations for living in peace and harmony. The second category includes such activities that are helpful to the above-mentioned activities, such as iron crafts or plows for cultivation, instruments for spinning and weaving, clothes. The third category includes such activities which are supplementary to the principal industries previously mentioned, such as eating, drinking, making dresses, clothes. These activities are necessary for human habitation just as the various organs of the body are necessary for the upkeep of the human body. The organs of the body are also divided into three categories. 1. The fundamental organs such as the heart, liver, and the brain. 2. What is helpful for these organs such as the stomach, veins, backbone, without which you cannot function. 3. What is supplementary to the above two categories for perfection such as nails, fingers, eyebrows. Out of these three categories, the most noble are the fundamental things, out of which the most noble is government, on account of which peaceful habitation becomes possible. For this reason, experienced and expert men are necessary to run the government. Administration is divided into four classes. 1. The first class is the highest, as it is the government of the prophets and their jurisdiction spread over the people and private matters of the people. 2. Next is the administration of temporal rulers over the public matters of the people and not their private matters. 3. Next is the administration of the learned and the wise over the people in the matters of religion of God, as they are the heirs of the prophet. It involves thoughts of the privileged few. 4. Next is the administration of the preachers, which involves the thoughts of the common men. After the administration of the prophets, the most noble is the diffusion of knowledge whereby the people are saved from evil and destructive habits and are led towards fortune and constructive virtues. This is the goal of knowledge and education. Intellectual activities are more excellent than any other activities because the excellence of any activity is known by three things. 1. By examining the natural qualities of a man, by the help of which an activity is recognized. For example, acquisition of knowledge is better than learning a language, as knowledge can be acquired by intellect while language can be learned through hearing. As intellect is better than the sense of hearing, knowledge is better than language. 2. By examining the extent of human usefulness, for example, agriculture is superior to the craft of goldsmith. 3. By observing the excellence of a business, for example, a business of a goldsmith is better than that of tanning hides. Knowledge has also got the above three qualities. 1. It is widely known that science of religion is the path of the hereafter. Perfect knowledge and bright intellect can acquire this. This is the most noble attribute for a man, because owing to this attribute, trust of God has been accepted by him, and through it he can enjoy the neighborhood of God. 2. Secondly, there is no doubt that the people in general get benefit of knowledge, as its extent of usefulness is very wide, and it contributes to the happiness of this world and the hereafter. Thirdly, knowledge is a thing which heals and governs the heart and soul of men. Man is the lord of creation and the lord of human organs in his heart. A spiritual teacher purifies the heart and guides it towards God. So teaching is the finest mode of worship. The heart of a learned man is one of the good stewards of God. What rank is thereafter higher than that in which man is an intermediary between his Lord and fellow men to draw him closer to God and to paradise? Section 2. Praiseworthy and blameworthy branches of knowledge. Compulsory learning. Farz-e-Ain. The Prophet of God said, quote, to seek learning is compulsory on every Muslim, seek knowledge even though in China. There is a difference of opinion amongst learned as to which branch of knowledge is obligatory on an individual. There are about 20 different groups in this matter. The scholastic theologians, any that is the scholastic theology, because it contributes towards understanding of Tawheed and the attributes of God. The jurists say that this is fiqh or jurisprudence because with its help, worship, worldly affairs, lawful and unlawful things can be understood and known. The traditionalists say that it is the knowledge of the Quran and the ways of the Prophet. The Sufis say that it is Sufism, so on and so forth. Abu Talib Makki said that it is the knowledge about the five pillars of Islam. Knowledge is of two kinds. Knowledge of practical religion and knowledge of spiritual matters. The knowledge which is compulsory ascertains to the practical religion which deals with three matters, belief, actions and prohibitions. For instance, when a sane man attains puberty, it becomes compulsory on him to learn the words of attestation, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. To know its inner meaning does not then become compulsory on him. He is to believe it without any doubt or proof. The Prophet first required initially only a mere verbal acceptance of Islam and confession of faith from the Arabs. What was compulsory on them at that time was fulfilled. After that, the knowledge of the duties to do became compulsory on them. These duties deal with actions and prohibitions. As regards actions, if a Muslim reaches the early afternoon prayer, it becomes compulsory on him to first know how to pray and then put it in action. This is the case with him in case of other prayers as well. If he lives up to the month of Ramadan, it becomes compulsory on him to know the rules of fasting and then to fast. This is the case with the pilgrimage, that is the Hajj, Zakat and other duties ordained by God and binding on all Muslims. As to prohibitions, it depends upon circumstances and new events. It is not compulsory on a blind man to know which sight is unlawful, on the mute to know which words are unlawful, so as to know a thing that is not compulsory on a Muslim who does not require it. If after the acceptance of Islam, there is anybody who wears a silk dress or takes property of another Muslim by force or looks at a strange woman with passion, he must know how to restrain himself from these things. So as to beliefs and thoughts of mind, their knowledge is obligatory according to the state of mind. Thus, if a man feels any doubt in his mind about the meaning of the Tawheed or of attestation formulas, it then becomes compulsory on him to know what will remove that doubt. When a duty becomes binding on a man, to acquire knowledge about it becomes binding on him. As a man is not free from hatred, envy, and impulses of evil, it becomes compulsory on him to know some of the evils as described in the Book of Destructive Evils. Why should it not be compulsory when the Prophet said, quote, three things are destructive, miserliness, vehement passion, and self-conceit. Other evils follow these three destructive evils. To remove these evils from the mind is compulsory. If a man is converted to Islam, what is compulsory for him is to believe in paradise, hell, the day of judgment, and the resurrection day. The Prophet said, to acquire learning is binding on every Muslim. He did not say to learn alif, lam, or meem, but he said to learn the science of actions. As actions become gradually compulsory on him, to acquire knowledge about these duties becomes compulsory on him. Farz-e-Kifaya, compulsory duty on community. Know, O dear readers, that learning about the duties are divided into two categories. Those which are connected with religion and those which are not so connected. The religion learning are those which come from the holy prophets and which there is no question of intellect, and the learnings that are not connected with religion are mathematics, medicine, etc. There are three kinds: praiseworthy, blameworthy, and permissible. The sciences which are necessary for progress in the world are praiseworthy, such as medicine, mathematics, etc. These are farz-e kifaya, or binding on a community as a whole. Farz-e kifaya is such a compulsory duty without which no nation can go on in this world. If a man at least acquires such learning or science in a town or locality, all other people in the town get absolved from this sin. If, however, nobody learns it, all will be transgressors. The science which should be learned for agriculture, administration, industry, weaving, etc. are farz-e kifaya. To be expert in such learnings is not farz-e kifaya. The learnings which are blameworthy are sorcery, juggling, gambling and likes. The learnings which are permissible are poetry, history, geography, biology, etc. All learnings connected with religion are praiseworthy, but when other learning is mixed with them, it becomes sometimes blameworthy. The praiseworthy learnings comprise branches which are helpful and supplementary learning. These are of four kinds. 1. Sources of religious learnings are four in number. Number A, the Book of God, the Sunnah, and the usages of the Holy Prophet, the unanimous opinions of the Muslim jurists, which is Ijma, and the sayings of the companions. Ijma is the third source of Islam as it shows the path towards the usages of the Prophet. The first source is the Quran and the second is Sunnah. The fourth source is the sayings of the companions because they saw the Prophet and witnessed the coming down of revelation, and they saw what others did not see through their association to the Prophet. Number 2. Branches of learning of religion are drawn from sources not according to the literal meaning but according to the meanings adduced by the mind, thereby writing the understanding as indicated by the following hadith, quote, "A judge shall not sit in judgment when angry." This means that he should not pass a judgment when he is pressed by calls of nature, hunger or disease. The last thing is of two kinds. One kind relates to the activities of this world, such as the books of law, and is entrusted to the lawyers. And the other kind relates to the activities of the hereafter. The latter is the science of the conditions of the heart and its praiseworthy virtues and blameworthy evils. Number 3. The third is the science helpful for praiseworthy science, such as the science of language, grammar, which are necessary to know the Quran and the Sunnah. They are not themselves religious education. They were not necessary for the Holy Prophet as he was illiterate. Number 4. The fourth kind is the supplementary sciences and is connected with pronunciation of the words and different readings and meanings, such as tafsir, knowledge of the revocation of the verses, books on transformation and transmission, biographies of illustrious companions and narrators of traditions. These are religious learnings and are praiseworthy, and such farz-e kifaya are binding on the community as a whole. If you question, why have you included fiqh or jurisprudence within worldly sciences and faqih or jurisprudent as worldly scholars, the reply is this. Fiqh contains the laws of administration of the world, and faqihs are such lawyers. There is, of course, no doubt that a faqih also deals with religion, but that is done through intermediary of this world, as a world is the seed ground for the hereafter. The religion does not become perfect without the world. If you leave the religion with the rulers, you will find that the religion is a foundation and the ruler is its god. That which has got no foundation is destroyed, and that which has no god is also destroyed. Rule cannot go without a ruler, and the instrument of rule is fiqh or administrative laws. The government does not belong primarily to religious sciences. It is well known that the pilgrimage does not become perfect unless a companion is taken for protection from the robbers in the journey. But Hajj or pilgrimage is one thing and rules for pilgrimage is another thing. A god is a third thing and the law is the fourth thing. The object of fiqh is to give knowledge of administration. This is supported by the following hadith, quote, Nobody can give legal decision except for three: ruler, authorized agent, and one that is not so authorized and who will give a decision out of his own accord. A ruler or a leader is qualified to give legal decisions. One who is authorized by him is his deputy. Except these two, the third person is called an intruder, which undertakes the responsibility himself. The companions in general refrained from giving any legal decision, but when they were asked about the Quran and the learnings of the hereafter, they did not remain silent. It may be said that the argument does not apply to various acts of worship about which fiqh gives a decision. In reply, it is said that fiqh gives decisions about the following matters of religion: Islam, prayer, zakat, halal and haram. About Islam, a faqih pays attention only to outward confessions of the kalama of tawheed, but the heart and the mind is outside his domain. The Prophet kept the rulers and the warriors outside of it. He questioned a man who praised another man as a martyr. "Have you examined the heart of the one who was killed?" He uttered kalma tawheed out of fear of being killed, and then he was killed. The jurisprudent will give decision that his Islam was good, even though he uttered it under the shadow of the sword. It is therefore a matter of this world. For this reason, the Holy Prophet said, quote, "I have been ordered to fight the people until their lives and properties are safe in my hand, but it will come to no help in the hereafter. What will help him there is the light of his heart, its secret thoughts, and its sincerity, which is outside the domain of fiqh." About prayer, a faqih will give decision of correctness of the prayer if outside formalities are observed, even though one's mind is absent in the prayer from the first to the last. This kind of a prayer will be of no use to him in the hereafter. A verbal expression of the kalima shahadat will be of no use in the hereafter. Also, the outward formalities of prayer will become of no use in the hereafter. The action of the mind and God fear will appertain to the actions in the hereafter, and which will help outward actions are outside the domain of the faqih. About zakat, a faqih will see whether zakat has been realized according to the prescribed rules. It is related that Judge Abu Yusuf gave decision that if a man makes gift of his wealth to his wife at the end of the year and takes back that wealth by him to him by gift, it is all right, although it is done to avoid the payment of zakat. On this point, Imam Abu Hanifa declared that if the result of this, of his knowledge of fiqh, and it is correct, and the result of worldly wisdom, but it will give no use in the hereafter, and its harms in the hereafter will be more than the benefits. About halal and haram, to abstain from lawful things is piety, and there are four grades of piety. Number one, piety which is required for the attestation of truth. If a man gives it up, he is not qualified to act as a judge, or an administrator, or witness. This kind of God fear is only to save oneself from unlawful things. Two, the second grade of piety is that of a pious man. He saves himself even from the doubt whether a certain thing is lawful or lawful. The Prophet said, quote, "Discard that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful." He also said, "Sin is heart alluring." Number three, the third grade of piety is that of a God-fearing man who gives up even a lawful thing for the fear of falling into an unlawful thing. The Prophet said, "Nobody can be God-fearing man unless he gives up what causes no harm to him for the fear of what causes harm." For instance, such a man does not state all the affairs of the people unless he is drawn to backbiting, or he fears to eat a delicious food or drink lest it stimulates passion and lust, which drive the people to commit unlawful things. The fourth grade is the piety of the Siddiq, or extremely religious man who gives up everything except God for the fear of spending even a single hour of life for nothing. Out of the above four stages, only the first one is within the domain of the faqih and not the other three. The Holy Prophet once said, quote, consult your conscience even though they give you decision three times. A faqih does not express opinion regarding the machinations of the heart, but confines his opinions on things which are subject to the matters of courts. His jurisdiction is limited to the matters of the world. The science of the roar of the hereafter is divided into two parts, the science of revelation and the science of practical religion. The science of revelation is the primary object of the science of practical religion. A certain Sufi said, quote, "I fear the bad end of a man who has got no portion of knowledge of revelation. The least portion is to believe in it and place it to those who are worthy of it." A certain sage said, "Whoever has got two characteristics, hearsay and pride, will never be blessed with the secret science." Another sage said, "Whoever is addicted to this world or persists in this low desires will not attain the secret science, though he might learn all the other sciences." This secret science is the science of the Siddiq and the science of the neighborhood of God. This is the light which illuminates the heart, cleansing it of all impurities and blameworthy sins. He understands now what he heard before, but he does not understand. He comes to learn the eternal and perfect attributes of God, his works and wisdom in the creation of this world, the meanings of prophethood, the devil, the angels, and the cause of revelation on prophets, the meaning of paradise, hell, punishment of the grave, bridge, balance, accounts, and many other things. Some say that these things are mere examples, but God has reserved for the pious what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no heart has even conceived. Some say that man knows nothing of paradise except its attributes and names. Others hold that some are mere patterns and some are identical with the realities which these names signify. Likewise, others hold that limit to the knowledge of God is one's inability to reach it. The object of secret knowledge is to remove the covers of doubt over these things from your mind, and the appearance of such light therein which clears everything like daylight. It is possible, owing to the light of the heart. It is like a mirror through which one can see clearly everything that falls on it, if it is cleared of all impurities. The science of the heart is that by which these impurities are removed from the heart, as these impurities are impediments and obstacles to the knowledge of God's attributes. The mode of clearing them is the abstinence from low desires and passions and following the ways of the prophets. Thus, to whatever extent the heart is cleaned and made to face the truth, to that same extent it will reflect in reality. This cannot be attained without discipline and efforts. This secret science cannot be written in books, but it can be gained by experience as a gift of God. About this science, the Holy Prophet said, "This is such knowledge which is like hidden things. None can grasp it except those who know God. Don't despise such learned man whom God has given a portion of it, as God does not despise a man on whom he gives a gift." The second kind of practical religion is praiseworthy and blameworthy sciences of the state of the heart. Its praiseworthy qualities are patience, gratitude, fear, hope, contentment, God fear, generosity, recognition of the gift of God under all circumstances, good faith, good conduct, truthfulness, and sincerity. To know the limit of these attributes, their real nature, and the means whereby they are attained, their results and their signs are included in the signs of the hereafter. The blameworthy evils, such as the fear of poverty, displeasure over the decree of God, envy, hatred, hypocrisy, flattery, hope for living long, pride, show, anger, enmity, greed, miserliness, self-conceit, to honor the rich, to look the poor with contempt, haughtiness, vanity, boasting, loss of the fear of God, expression of piety, lukewarm support for truth, secretly fostering enmity with outward or friendship, revenge, deceit, breach of trust, harsh treatment, contentment with the world, oppression, loss of shame and kindness. These are faults of the mind, roots of evil deeds and miseries. The opposing qualities are praiseworthy and the fountainheads of all good deeds. To know their real nature belongs to the science of the hereafter, and to know it is compulsory on part of learned men of the hereafter. Whoever turns away from it will be destroyed in the hands of the King of Kings, just as anybody going against temporal rulers and the law of state will be destroyed. The attention of jurisprudence with respect to compulsory sciences is towards the world, and the attention of the people is towards good of the hereafter. If any faqih is asked about sincerity, he would make delay in reply, but as soon as he is asked about divorce or other matters, he will reply at once and deal with subtle intricacies. Among the learned men of practical science, those who are God-fearing keep attached to the learned men of secret sciences. As a student sits in a school, so Imam Shafi used to sit near Shaiban Ray and ask him, quote, "How shall I do this work?" The people asked Imam Shafi, "Are you asking questions to a Bedouin?" He said, "This man has learnt what we have not learnt." Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and Ihya bin Ma'in could not agree on a certain matter, and they therefore went to Maruf Kharki, who was not equal to them in the science of practical religion. They said to him, quote, "The Prophet said, quote, what will you do when you not find a matter in the Quran and the Sunnah?" He said, "Ask a pious man amongst you and consult them in this matter. We have come to you for this." Someone said, quote, "The learned men of exoteric knowledge are the ornaments of the world and the state, but the learned men of exoteric knowledge are ornaments of the kingdom and the angels." Hazrat Junaid said, quote, "My spiritual guide said to me once, 'With whom do you keep company when you leave my house?' I said, 'I keep company with Mubasi.' He said, 'Yes, follow his knowledge and manners, but avoid the subtleties of his scholastic theology and return it to him.' When I left him, I heard him say, quote, 'May God make you the first muhaddis and then an ascetic, but not first an ascetic and then a muhaddis.' Its meaning is that we should acquire first the science of tradition and learning and then become an ascetic, and he will then get salvation. But he becomes an ascetic before acquisition of knowledge throws himself into faults. As to philosophy, it is not a single branch of science, but comprises of four subjects. The first subject includes geometry and arithmetic, both of which are permissible for those who are firm in faith. The second subject is logic, which is the science of reason, and it states proof, reason, and cause. Both these are included within theology. The third subject is the science of Sufism, or the science of God's being and the attributes of God. This is also included within theology. The fourth subject is physics, of which some portions contradict Sharia and true religion and therefore are not right. I shall describe the character and conduct of the early faqih. They had no other object except to gain the pleasure of God, and the science of the learned men of the hereafter were known to them and their conditions. They lived not only for the silence of fiqh, but also for the science of the heart. The companions did not publish books on fiqh or read them. So also imams did not compile books, yet they were experts in the science of fiqh. Soon we shall narrate the lives of some of the most noted faqih, not to attack them, but to attack those who claim to be their followers and act contrary to their characters and the conducts. The noted faqih are five: Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and Imam Sufyan Thawri. Every one of them was an ascetic, a devout and a learned man in the science of the hereafter, law given for the people, and seeker of God's pleasure through the help of fiqh. Every one of them possessed five qualities, but the modern faqih accepted only one of these qualities. What is research in it to the minutest detail of fiqh? The four other qualities relate to the good of the hereafter, and only one relates to the good of this world. They are followed only in respect of one quality and not the four. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.